It's no surprise that facial hair is personal. It grows from your face. That's why Dollar Shave Club makes the razors, but you make the rules. Whether you're going smooth shaven or maintaining a beard, Dollar Shave Club offers shave and grooming products that are always high quality, but never overpriced. Dollar Shave Club products are now available everywhere. Or visit their site right now for 20% off $20 or more and get your products delivered right to your door. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/shaveup and use promo code SHAVEUP for 20% off $20 or more. And remember, whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
If you're ready for a new job, let Express Employment Professionals help you. Express is already hiring for summer jobs in a variety of industries. Job seekers never pay a fee at Express. Go to expresspros.com to find your location. That's expresspros.com.
Hey everyone, summer is just around the corner and May's packed with reasons to celebrate. Whether you're firing up the grill for a backyard barbecue, soaking up the sun by the pool, or enjoying a long weekend with friends and family, Whole Foods Market makes it easy to kick off the season with great everyday prices on high quality favorites, from fresh produce to grilling essentials. Let's dive into the savings and get your summer fun started right. Personally, I love how easy Whole Foods Market makes it to pull together a last-minute gathering. I was there recently picking up a few things for a cookout, and those yellow low-price signs are no joke. I grabbed their No Antibiotics Ever Ground Turkey and a few 365 by Whole Foods Market Organic Salad Kits. Honestly, so convenient and surprisingly affordable. The quality is still everything you'd expect, but I definitely felt like I was scoring a deal, which I love. Plus those yellow sale signs, I make a beeline for them now. Especially when I saw strawberries on sale, we went through two cartons in one day. Save on May celebrations with great everyday prices at Whole Foods Market.
This hour is brought to you by Menards. Save big money at Menards.
With the 56th pick in the 2025 NFL Draft, the Chicago Bears select Ozzie Trapillo, tackle from Boston College.
I'm a competitor, so, you know, every day show up, compete. You know, coming into a new program, my main goal now is to just get on the field as soon as possible. I've mentioned that before.
That's Ozzie Trapillo, all 6'8" of him, as we broadcast live from the Score Hyundai Studios, brought to you by your local Hyundai dealers. And we go out to the Circa Resort and Casino Hotline, CircaLasVegas.com, to find a friend of the show. Always happy to talk to James Big Cat Williams. James, thanks for joining Layla Rahimi and Mark Grody on the Score.
Hey, guys. How are you?
Good to see you. Last time I saw you was at the Brat Stop, and Mitch sent me some brats the other day, and I had to cook them and smelled up my apartment, so I figured you might laugh at that.
Yeah, I heard you all talking about that. It took me back. My son called me about 2 or 3 weeks ago. He had an alarm in his dorm cooking brats in the air fryer. So, yeah, I knew exactly what you were talking about.
Hold on. He cooked brats. This is bold. Okay, first of all, smart to have the air fryer in the dorm. But secondly, that's how I learned the hard way. That was quite the situation. Did he stink up the floor? Like, what ended up happening here?
Oh yeah, the whole floor smelled like brats. The dorm was evacuated.
Oh, no.
You know, fire trucks come and everybody's standing outside. Like, you know, who was it? And, you know, of course he's standing over in the corner. Like, I don't know what the heck's going on. Well, why is everyone out here? So, I guess he got pretty much the distinct odor out of his room and into the hallway, so they really couldn't tell where exactly it came from, although I just dined him out, so I'll probably hear about this.
I mean, I kind of want to hear what school he went to, but here's the other thing. Like, they have a list of approved appliances that you can bring, and I thought that as long as it was electric, it was okay.
Yeah, not anymore. You know, you used to, like, when I was in college, you refrigerator, microwave, and those are the only things you had. Maybe what were those? The little single cookers that you could put a pot on.
Oh yeah, the like
cooker.
The little burner. Yeah, the hot plate, crock pot.
Yeah,
a little burner.
And those are the only things we had access to. You know, we didn't eat much other than ramen anyway, and you know, maybe boil some hot dogs to go in the ramen, throw a little cheese on it.
Well, yeah, but,
that was good
know,
living.
That was a gourmet meal for us in college.
Creative ramen was a thing, man. I'm glad to hear I'm not the only one. Oh yeah, spice it up, whatever you want to put in there.
Yeah.
ramen and salmon and ramen and hot dogs.
Oh,
and,
man.
Ramen and some spam. Oh, yeah. We're good to go.
I might have ramen tonight.
And spam. Yeah, that's the way to go. Okay, 847 James says, I make brats in the air fryer all the time. You have to boil them first. Do you think that advice might be helpful for your son in the future?
Yeah, but doesn't that take some of the flavor out of it? I want to enjoy the full essence of my brats. I really don't care if I set off a fire alarm, but that's with me. You know, that's with me.
I love this discussion. Thanks for joining in.
I was going to tell you no.
See, you're the first person we thought of when it came to asking about, you know, 6'8" potential left tackle on the Bears and Ozzie Trapillo. But now we got the broad discussion and the mutual confession. I'm telling you, shared space. It's not just a window. You've got to do other things in order to get the grease and the smell out.
No doubt.
Your poor son. Well, I think thanks to the text line, they might have some more solutions. So this is a two-way street. You help us out with some knowledge on the O-line. Maybe we can help him out with some brats cooking talk.
Okay. Hey, that sounds good.
Okay, so let's actually start with why we thought of you. It makes sense, right? Who better to talk to about not only having to adjust in the NFL and the offensive line, but also talking to somebody who knows a thing or two about playing left tackle, and then also being so tall and 6'7", you know what the challenges are. When you saw the Bears drafting Ozzie Trapillo out of Boston College in the second round, what did you think?
Well, I originally thought that they were going to bring him in to play right and try and move right to left tackle. But after hearing them say that they'd like to try Trapillo at left tackle, if they're going to start him there from Jump Street, I really don't have a problem with it. Mm. It might not be something that he's used to, but I remember overhearing a couple, him talking a couple times and talking about that during the off season and during his off times, he would work out of a left-handed stance just to keep himself balanced. And, you know, as a young player, that's always good to be able to do it both left side or right side. But it is going to be something totally different for him when it comes to full-time game situations or even full-time practices leading up to that. It's a big change for some people trying to go from the right to the left. I played right tackle my entire time. And, you know, at one point in time, I think Andy Heck went down and we had started talking about moving to left tackle for a game or two just until he got back. But we were able to work some things out and I didn't have to move. But I was going to be a guy that was going to play in my right tackle stance on the left side. It wouldn't have looked the prettiest in the world, but it was what I would have been comfortable doing.
Didn't you replace with Keith Van Horn in the early goings,
yes,
too?
Yes.
And you were defense. I mean, you know all
well,
about
I was,
switching.
I was a defensive lineman when
right.
I first got here.
Right.
And then, and Dick and the guys decided that wasn't for me. So they moved me to right tackle. And, that was the new chapter that began.
Worked out very well. What specifically? Because I you're saying that it wouldn't be that big of a deal for Trapillo. And I guess, in theory, same with Darnell Wright, to go from right tackle to left tackle. What is the difference between going from right tackle to left tackle? Anything in terms of the way you actually play the game?
Well, it's everything's reversed for you. And when you're playing right tackle, you're in a right-handed stance. So that means your right foot's back, your right hand's down. You know, all your weight's usually on your inside foot to keep defenders from getting to your inside. Now, when you move to left, everything's changed. Everything is opposite. So all the pressure is on your inside leg, your right foot now. You're trying to keep all your leverage there while also being able to kick step out to your left. And for some people, that's just, like for me, that was very difficult. It was, not having to, like a lot of guys, if you've played offensive line all your life, and you've played like tackle or guard, like even in high school, you practice both positions all the time. And then once you get to college, you're usually more solidified at one of the two spots. But you do have those guys that bounce back and forth, or those guys that are smart enough to, during their offseason, work on doing it either way so that they are prepared for if they do have to switch.
Gotcha.
But a guy like me that had come from defense to offense, and now you want me to switch side? Man, I just got this side, you know, halfway decent. So
okay, that makes sense. Yeah, Yeah.
It's difficult. I mean, think about it. You know, you talk about, you know, I heard you all talking about hitting balls in the batting cage. All right, now go up there and hit a ball right-handed, and then go up there and hit a ball left-handed. If you
really?
Can do it, you're special.
You know
what I mean? Right.
He can't. But I do want to ask you this too, James. As an offensive line coach now, you know, I know you're on the staff at Lake Forest assistant offensive line coach, and as somebody who knows how to teach people, I've understood that it's one thing to try to do it at that level where you learn young how to switch your weight and you kind of commit that to the muscle memory. But it's another when you're talking about the major college level to go from right to left. You know, and I wonder about that part of it too, just like you mentioned. And it's not just the handedness. I also wonder about footedness. You know, this is something we don't talk about a lot. We talk a lot about being right or left-handed, but people are also right foot or left foot dominant. And I feel like that plays a part in this as well.
That's above my pay grade right there.
But it's which side are you more comfortable putting your weight on? Like you talked about, inside leg is easier for some people if it's the right leg that the weight is on. Some people it's the left, you know, that type of deal.
Right, but you're also now a professional athlete. You are going to do the things you need to do, which is, you know, work. You know, it's going to take practice. It's going to take time. You're going to look good some days and come in, you know, 2 or 3 days later and look like total crap. But you've got to fight through those things. You've got to keep on going. You've got to do the things that prepare you to play that position. One of the good things is, you know, they beat up the inside of the line with, you know, Tuli, Jackson, and Dahlman. You know, now you feel as though the center, the interior of that offensive line has been bolstered a little bit, which will help the tackle. You know, the ability to not have to worry about that inside move as much because you're protecting it, and you also know that you have a guy inside of you that is also helping you protect it. And you know he's going to be where he's supposed to be when he's supposed to be there. So, you know, there are a lot of little things that are that will either help the process progress or decline. And you just hope that they put together enough things that if they, you know, consistently want him to play like left tackle, they want him to compete at left tackle, that all the things are there right now for him to do that.
How much will, since you mentioned those new interior offensive linemen, James, how much do you think those guys are going to help DeAndre Swift? And should he also be given the benefit of the doubt like we seem to do with everybody else because maybe the offensive line wasn't there last year?
Well, I think if you look at Swift and what he did in Detroit prior to coming to Chicago, it was about the same thing, you know, and Detroit had a hell of an offensive line. So, you know, is it the situation about the line or is it the individual?
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's what we have to figure out.
Oh, no. Did we lose?
Fire alarm.
Did we lose James?
He just lost a bratwurst. That's what the fire department is coming to his house. They heard us talking.
Oh, no.
It went. That's pretty interesting stuff, though, about him just really casually saying, not a problem for those guys, Darnell Wright and Ozzie Trapillo, to go to left tackle. I think that's the first person I've heard say. Obviously, Ryan Poles subscribes to that theory in some regard because he thinks that he can give it a shot at the left tackle.
All right. James is back. We lost you for a second.
Sorry about that.
It definitely happens. Here we are. We're burning down buildings with our cooking habits. So this is a small thing in the grand scheme of things.
We missed you.
Oh, I missed you guys.
Did you have more on that thought that you just wanted to finish? Talking about the possible success of DeAndre Swift.
Well, like I said, I don't know. I don't know where we got cut off, but I think, you know, you look at Detroit, and they had a hell of an offensive line. You know what I mean? And he didn't want to run inside there. So, I mean, until the season starts, we won't know, and I don't know what much more the Bears could have done to solidify the middle of that line to make him more comfortable to do that. But we'll see during training camp. We'll see during the preseason, and we'll see once the season starts, you know, if he can produce what they need him to produce in the middle, in between those two tackles, or with that outside zone cutting it back.
I don't know what happens up there at your height, 6'7". I really don't know what happens at 6'8". I'm pretty sure the NBA or something. When we talk about Ozzie Trapillo's height, and this even I think applies to Braxton Jones, can sometimes the height be a detriment when you're playing on the outsides of the lines like you used to, for example, or is it only something that helps you?
It can be a detriment because at 6'7", 6'8", your ability to get underneath a player is often challenged. You know, how well do you bend in your hips? How well do you bend at the knees? You know, everybody can bend at the back, but now you're in vulnerable positions that you don't want to be in. So the ability to bend, the ability to get low is usually something the taller players struggle with. But your advantage is you have the longer legs, you have the longer arms. If you're able to use those, you know, you often hear offensive tackles talking about the ability to punch. You know, if I have the ability to get my arms fully extended and hit you at what we call a near point, whether that be your chest, your shoulder, your back, you know, whatever that near point is, now it makes it almost impossible for you to get into my chest, for you to grab my shoulder pad. Now you have to do some kind of hand slap move. And, you know, during the whole offseason, that's what offensive linemen are training on, getting stronger, you know, getting more stout in their stance. So if I have the ability with my long arm to keep you at bay, that's an advantage to me and a disadvantage to you. But you do have the advantage of, you know, maybe possibly on a run play or something like that, getting lower than me. But, you know, 340 pounds at 6'7", 6'8", once it gets moving forward, it's moving forward. Not too much you can do to stop.
I love it. James Williams, always great to talk to you. And I'm sorry about your son's brat cooking experiences. It sounds like we need to source a new air fryer amongst us all.
Hey, if they come up with one that does not smoke when it gets a lot of grease in it, I'm in.
Okay, well, supposedly one of our score listeners might be on one, so he's going to ask his fiance who he lives with. So we are looking into it as a team. And we will look forward to talking to you. I feel like this is a conversation we can continue to have, because even learning how to do what you just described is a whole other segment. So if you're into it, we are for sure.
Sounds good.
James Williams, the multi-talented man, teaching us about the offensive line and sharing his expertise. Thanks for joining us here on Raheem and Harris with Mark Grody on The Score. Coming up next, well, I'm just going to say the headline because I think it's good enough. Dansby Swanson takes us inside the clubhouse a little bit. That's next on The Score.
It's Dansby Swanson. Nerds!
Today's episode is sponsored by Smart Travel, a new podcast from NerdWallet. Smart Travel doesn't just cover points and miles. They break down all the financial aspects of your trip, whether that's the best days to book, how to avoid hidden fees, or which fancy travel credit cards pay off, and which ones are just an expensive flex. If you want your travel budget to work harder, then dive into the best deals, products, services, and more with Smart Travel from NerdWallet, wherever you get your podcasts.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Want to pull off the season's freshest trends? You just need the right shoes. That's where Designer Shoe Warehouse comes in. Loving wide-leg jeans? Pair them with sleek, low-profile sneakers. Obsessed with the sheer trend? try it with mesh flats. Feeling boho? Comfy sandals nail the whole free-spirited thing. Find on-trend shoes from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at DSW.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America, for America.
Going up. Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Rahimi and Harris, middays 10 a.m. to 2 on 670 The Score.
Fun is winning. Winning is fun. I believe have fun first, then you win. Then you have more fun in the clubhouse.
I mean, Ozzy's right about that. And even though the Cubs are patiently waiting news on Shota Umenaga, as we all are, the Cubs still improved to 21-14. They got 21 wins on Saturday in their second win of the Brewers series. Lost yesterday 4-0, but they still took 2 out of 3 against their division rivals at their place. And the two wins were pretty commanding, I would say, Mark Rohde.
Absolutely. No, dominant wins, and it was kind of a could it be, could things, but was that indicative, symbolic of things are changing again in the division?
Well, and like how nice was it, for example, in that 10-0 win on Friday night? Where you're sitting pretty after the second inning because they had scored 7 runs.
Uh-huh. Yes, and then you gave Ben Brown just what he needed.
All the run support in the world.
Yes, just to relax and to be you. And now maybe he's back on track, but still to be seen.
Still to be seen, and I feel like he's not the only one we're talking about there. Dansby Swanson had a good week to try to get back to where we know him to be offensively. I feel like it started in Pittsburgh for him a bit. It continued not only throughout that series, but even in what we saw against the Brewers. And that's something that encourages you, knowing, again, what he's done defensively and just for the team, what he means.
Yeah, I mean, the idea that he was moving. I mean, right now, Craig Counsell's looking real good. That the fact that he was put down in the lineup and then there was, at exactly that moment, Dansby Swanson started to play better. I thought the answer that Craig Counsell gave was filled with humility because he said, yeah, I think he was probably about ready to take off at that point. And so he's probably right, but it was a good move by Craig Counsell, obviously. Got to give him credit for that.
Like, for example, Dansby Swanson hasn't gone hitless in a game in the month of May. I know that's only 4 games, but when you consider the body of work, I think that's important here. And maybe even it was the Dodgers series where you really started to see him come on that 2-game set. But either way, you know, going 3-for-4 against the Pirates too will also help. But to put it together consistently is something that you want to see. I think also the past 2 wins really unlocked a lot of positive discussion when it came to the Cubs understanding what they're putting together. We heard earlier in the show from Jameson Taillon talking about his approach against right-handed batters, or whether it was PCA still finding out who he is offensively. So I thought it was appropriate that we hear from Dansby Swanson as well. This was something that you came across.
Are we playing it? Or
yeah, let's play it.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, I think the best teams just consistently show up and do the work. The best teams show up with a confidence and a swagger, with an expectation to win, no matter who the opponent is. You know, we're out there to basically play our game and do what we do and trust whether we win or lose that you know, we'll show up again the next day and do it again. There's times where we all need to be reined in a little bit here and there, and you know, someone can point something out, and we all keep each other pretty, you know, humble and all those kinds of ways. Like, this team loves to talk trash to one another, and just all the fun ways that we hold each other accountable, you know, is a way in which that kind of keeps everyone somewhat in line, but also comfortable, you know, in their own skin.
So I thought that that was important because, A, shows you what happens when there's a group of veterans who I think feel like they've got an understanding of who this team is and how they all fit together. B, something that you talk about when you're playing well. You know, that's not something you would hear if the team was losing.
100%. I mean, some teams will say that that's the way a clubhouse is if things are going poorly, but it's usually the case that a clubhouse really comes together if you're winning, and that cures all.
Well, that's it, right? Winning is the best medicine, as we like to say. I always like to say after that, the confidence is a welcome side effect.
Oh, yeah.
But when you consider how this is coming together in a way that maybe leads to some of those conversations being a little more, they're not that big of a deal. You know, if there's something that happens that somebody wants to talk about, maybe it's just like a little just address it and then you move on, rather than something that could really hurt people. And when I say hurt people, I mean like hurt the team or like be a bigger issue than what it is. That's what I hear when I hear him talk about that.
Well, right. And, you know, look, Dansby Swanson, if he could just get keep the offense going the way it is, and maybe not necessarily at the torrid pace that he's been on lately, that guy, I mean, that is a double threat. The dual threat of his elite defense. He is an elite shortstop. He's got one error so far this year. He is terrific at that. And good on him to not let the bat affect the glove. And it really never has. I think it was it last year at the beginning of the year that Swanson made a few errors? He was having some trouble with the throws, but he got it back on really quickly. And he's just been superior at the position so far this year. So that's just the thing. That is why Dansby Swanson was a number one overall pick once upon a time ago. And he hasn't been, like, really since the first half of his first year with the Cubs, where he was hitting everything. Like, I remember being so happy that he got off to a fast start in his first year with the Cubs, because that's a lot of pressure. And I've seen too many Cubs free agents come into this town and fail because they got off to a poor start and never recovered. He was terrific, but then there's just been this, like, he's been a quality player for the Cubs, mostly because of his defense, but the offense has just kind of slowly gone down. So I want to see what he has done lately stay, because he's best player on the team if he can really get the offense going.
He's the best player on the team all around. I mean,
yes,
I think far as the hitting aspect, you know, Kyle Tucker, Seiya Suzuki.
Yeah, I'm saying if he hits.
But
if he hits.
It should be some combination of Kyle Tucker, Seiya Suzuki, Dansby Swanson,
PCA. Yeah, absolutely.
That's how it should be hitting-wise.
Carson Kelly.
You know, that's what you ideally want when you're hiring Dansby.
But that's what I'm saying. We are loving on, and we should be, on PCA and Kyle Tucker and all these guys and what they've been doing. But if Dansby Swanson is to get hit above average, he is up there for best player on the Cubs.
Well, he's done a lot to help his cause, especially recently. The Cubs begin that three-game set tonight against the Giants, so we'll see how this continues. PCA on Friday talked post-game about the lineup also helping the team overall, kind of help them suss it out as individuals.
You've grown as a hitter over the last year. You talk about getting better at bats. How have you been able to do that?
I don't really know, to be honest. I mean, I definitely know what I do well, a little bit better than I did last year. And, you know, having a whole year under my belt now, I feel more comfortable in the box, and I think that's just a nice place to start. But what I would say, too, not to discredit myself, I've been saying this a bunch recently, like, it's so easy to hit in this lineup. I just feel so confident going up to the plate in the 7-hole. I'm talking about flying under the radar. Like, I feel like I can kind of hide in there in a way. Because it's so easy to want to go have a good at-bat and, you know, when you got eight other guys that can really do it behind you, in front of you. So having a year under my belt, getting to know myself a little bit better as a hitter, and definitely working on some little things mechanically that will, I think, lead to some consistency. But not hitting in this lineup is probably the biggest difference I've seen this year to any other year I've ever played baseball, where it's like you see a lot of these innings, that first and second inning that we just had today, like, Happer's great in that leadoff spot. He's on base so much. you know, being able to switch out Seiya and Kyle in that 2 and 3 hole, throwing Carson in the 4 hole, Bushy in the 4 hole, whatever it is. There's just so much room to succeed here and just confidence.
Grody and I had a little bit of a laugh at all the nicknames.
That's what she said.
Hey! I do think he's right, though, and this is when I always get frustrated when there's some, quote, study, end quote, that comes out saying, oh, protection in the lineup doesn't matter. How are you conducting this study? How can you possibly control for all those variables? Are you watching all of those games?
Are there people that say that doesn't matter, like the metrics?
There's so many different ways to interpret baseball where you can take so much out of context because you can't control for all the variables. Mm-hmm. My point is this is just another piece of evidence, in my opinion, that shows how production and protection in the lineup does matter. When players tell you that they're not as pressed because they know somebody else might pick them up, or how the protection will cause the opponent to maybe focus on one part of the lineup more than another, and that allows for those people to produce. There are all these different ways where you're saying the offense is going to carry you through, and it creates opportunities for everybody else.
And now more than ever, they like go back to the two starting pitchers being out and having to depend on Boyd and Colin Ray and Jameson Taillon. Are the Cubs now depending on 5 to 7 runs a game? That's hard. I don't know if they are or not, but that's really difficult to depend on, especially once you get to the place we all want the Cubs to get, and that is the postseason. Another question I want to ask PCA is, I'll ask you this question. Do you think PCA is a home run hitter? You think he's going to – how many home runs do you think PCA is going to hit this year?
Oh, yeah, that I don't know. I don't think it's – if he hits – somewhere even slightly below 20, I'm happy.
Yeah.
Is that crazy? No, I don't think
he's got 9.
Right.
So, I don't think that's crazy.
I need him to just get on base, however he wants to do that.
Or hit home runs.
Yeah, like, if you account for all 4 of them.
Yeah.
And for me, that's a big part of it. Maybe you don't need to be the home run hitter. Maybe that's not the pressure. But I need you to be an extra base hitter.
Yeah. But we disagreed a little bit on this. We talked about this earlier. I think he's swinging for home runs. And I know it's very easy to say since he's hit a whole bunch recently, but there was a time when it was just make contact, get on base, bunt a little bit, you know, just get on base because you'll be at third. You're Billy Hamilton. No.
I don't think he's that.
I think PCA thinks he's a home run hitter, and maybe he is. But this just goes back to, who are you, man? Who are you? Well, who are you, PCA?
Maybe the better question is, who do you want to be?
I think he wants to be a home run hitter. And I don't blame him. Like, he could be, he's probably in his head, he's probably thinking 40-40 or 30-30, something like that. No, he's not going to hit 40 home runs, but I think he could hit 30. Or is he just red hot right now? Is he going to, like, get ice cold? Who are you, PCA? Who are you?
Are you trying to ask? You wouldn't ask him if he's going to get ice cold, or would you?
No, I wouldn't ask him that, but it's going to happen, right? And I think that's the point at which there might be some adjusting in terms of how much he swings.
I mean, I don't know. You could argue that already happened for him, too.
That there was an adjustment?
Yes, that he adjusted.
Yeah.
That we adjusted to him, and that he 100. Adjusted back.
Right, he couldn't hit a fastball when he first came up. So that's why all of this is so astonishing, that he's gone from not being able to hit a fastball when he first came up to all of a sudden he's hit all these home runs in the last, you know, 17 games or so. And I had it here. It is right here. Last 17 games, this man has a .343 average, 9 homers, .866 slug, K rate 17.1, hard hit rate 47.4%. That's from Marquee Sports Network.
But when I hear him say it's easy to hit in this lineup, I do think that translates into his timing at the plate. And I think that timing will result in home runs. Yeah. That's usually how it works.
So do you think he thinks he wouldn't be as good if he wasn't in this lineup?
That's a good question.
I don't think he would ever say that. Just because he's a very confident man.
I think he would have to answer it for himself.
Yeah.
I think the better question is like, how much better do you think this lineup makes you?
Hey, this guy, you know.
If you're somewhere else, who are you?
Right. Well, reports are that maybe, allegedly, he turned down a contract extension. This was before he went on the torrid pace. So I guess that I answered my own question. Yes, he does think he's better than even other people think he is.
Those are the reports. The better question is, does it get revisited, or do you just bet on yourself and buy yourself time?
VCA ain't signing anything this year. I'd be, unless the Cubs really up the offer, if they up the ante.
Which I don't know that that's happening.
6 years, like we talked about Aloy, 6 years, $43 million before he did anything. I mean, I don't know. I mean, it would be in the Cubs' best interest to lock him in. That's for sure, their rate.
It would absolutely be in the Cubs' best interest.
The Cubs did that with Rizzo, too. Same thing. Really, really good team offer to Rizzo in 2013, I think.
And it worked out well for them.
Yeah.
To say the very
least. Exactly. So that's why the Cubs should be trying to sign. I mean, PCA should probably be betting on himself.
Fair enough. So coming up next on The Score, I know we went over this with David Haugh. So do we want to rewind in our own show to a moment that happened earlier with one of our Score guests? Or do we want to pay off an Easter egg that we already kind of did earlier? What do we want to do?
Well, I want to do everything. Are you talking about the Easter egg earlier and the question that you asked to start an interview with about the White Sox?
No, or? The Easter egg was actually what we talked about when transitioning with your show with Matt Spiegel on Friday.
Layla, you're running the show. You get to make the decision.
But that's why I'm asking. I'm taking votes here.
Okay,
so what do
guys,
we say?
What do you think?
I love the thing Producers. We had in the pre-show about the idea of this magical show that stars one David Haugh. And I would love Mr. Mark Grody to play David Haugh in this show.
Okay, all right. So that is what we will do because, you know, the people have a say. That's next on The Score. Rahimian Harris with Mark Grody.
Want to grow your business fast? With TikTok ads, anything is possible. If you've ever thought about advertising your business on TikTok, now is the time to do it. You can drive more customers to your website, sell products right in the app, and you can even use TikTok's creative tools to easily make content and find creators to help sell your products for you. Find new customers today. Just open your browser, type in getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads, and grow your business fast.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Hi, this is Javon, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow, a real person.
Yep, I'm here to help with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
Well, I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
We can also send you samples fast and free.
Wow, I mean, I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule. And there's no haggling, pressure, or hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over, and I'm thinking of something.
Blinds.com has covered over 25 million windows, all backed by a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Shop Blinds.com now and get up to 50% off with minimum purchase. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Instacart is on a mission to have you not leave the couch this basketball season. Because between the pregame rituals and the postgame interviews, it can be difficult to find time for everything else. So let Instacart take care of your game day snacks or weekly restocks and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Because we hear it's bad luck to be hungry on game day. So download the Instacart app today and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three orders. Service fees apply for three orders in 14 days. Excludes restaurants.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Layla Rahimi, Marshall Harris. Rahimi and Harris, middays 10 a.m. to 2 on 670 The Score.
I have not talked about Colson Montgomery with you. Poor James Fegan. Not only is he a White Sox reporter, he then turns into a therapist. I wish I could say we're going to stop, but I don't think we're going to stop.
He's like, oh, Colson Montgomery.
We're true soldiers.
You want to know about Colson Montgomery, eh? Can we maybe talk about...
Guys, I said we're true soldiers earlier, Lawrence and Ray over there in the back. You know what I'm trying to say when I say that. I just can't say all of it because I don't think it's appropriate for radio anymore. You know what is appropriate for radio?
What?
Free stuff. Let's do a giveaway. Caller 6 to the... Caller 6 to the Score contest line at 312-540-0670. 312-540-0670. We'll win a pair of tickets to see the Cubs and Marlins at Wrigley next Monday night, May 12th, powered by Bosch Power Tools. The more you Bosch, the more you feel like a Bosch. Also, Nuts on Clark dropped off popcorn and snacks. It's been lovely all day.
A deluxe buffet of various popcorn families out there in the hallway.
It is. All right, so I guess by popular request, a.k.a. Mark Rohde's, we are going to pay off a discussion that we had. Was it Friday when you were co-hosting with Matt Spiegel?
Yes.
So I said, if you go to my my cable box, which means everybody else who has my cable company, the guide description for the Chicago Lead, which is the nightly sports news show that they do at CHSN, was hilariously entertaining, and that it read like a novel. I brought it up with David Haw earlier, but it's worth another discussion because it sure sounds like a show that Mark Grody could star in if he, I don't know, switches a sample or two. A dedicated reporter uncovers dark secrets in a bustling city. As the truth unfolds, danger looms closer, testing bravery and uncovering hidden corruption.
That's the Haw Show.
Supposedly. Do you think that David...
Warning, put your hands up.
Do you think that
Warning, David, stop right there.
David
Warning, freeze.
Haw has found hidden corruption.
Good afternoon, freeze. Morning, Mitch. Morning, Lily. Morning, Molly. Put your hands up, Molly. Morning.
No, David Haw can't be the cop if he's the one uncovering the hidden corruption.
Well, wouldn't that be what the cop would do? Uncover the hidden corruption.
This says it's a dedicated reporter, and as the truth unfolds, a danger looms closer, testing bravery and uncovering hidden corruption.
I made some editorial decisions. David Haw is now a spy. He's a reporter and spy.
Spy? No. Then who's uncovering the hidden corruption? Mm. Now we're just learning more
Clay
about
Harbor.
His life.
Yeah.
Clay Harbor's the one uncovering
Ruthie?
The hidden corruption.
Ruthie?
Yeah, what's Ruthie's
Ruthie!
Role in this outfit?
Unlock me, Ruthie!
You switch the sample.
Are we combining too many things
in
the
plot? We're conflating.
Have we lost the plot?
Yeah, we did, but that's okay.
Immediately lost the plot.
That's all right.
Well, the problem is we can't figure out who's the most corrupt in this scenario.
Is it Haw? Akeem Hicks would
Can
say
so. Can this be one of these movies where Haw is like the hero and the villain? He's playing two characters?
Who? Wait a minute. You know what? Here's the thing. I just went on a rant asking who is PCA. Who is David Haw, really? Nice guy, talented radio host?
Why?
Ever since he took that second job, Haw has not been the same. He took the North... He took the North and he gave it back. He gave it to me.
Well, I'm fond of all the versions of David Haw, but particularly the biggest fan of Vegas Haw.
Oh, Vegas Haw.
Vegas Haw switched the sample of himself.
You know what?
We got to know Vegas Haw. Like, that was a whole different side of him.
We pretend like we're complicated people and in debt. Like, Haw, man, who is this guy? Who are you, David Haw?
Why?
Well... Because there's some things going on here, man.
Yeah, I mean, according to this cable box description of the show,
what's
there
in
sounds
that?
Like there's a lot happening. Danger is looming.
What was in that box he walked? Oh, no, that was Molly that walked out of here with a box today.
I think that was Nuts on Clark.
No, it was Oh, was that Nuts on Clark or was it clothing?
Oh, it might have been Flag and Anthem.
They walk out of here with Flag and Anthem about once a week.
Yeah, what's up with that? That's a good question.
They are dressed.
Are they dressed for disguises?
Mmm. Somebody needs to track David Haw from now on when he walks out of here.
We know where he is multiple times.
He's probably texting one of us.
We know where he is at all times. What are you talking about?
You see you and I walking around the city following David Haw.
We know where he is from 5:30 to 10. And then we know where he is from about, I don't know, 1 o'clock to 6 o'clock.
Yeah.
And then we know he's preparing for the show.
No, I just like the idea.
There's maybe 2 hours where he's not accounted for it. I'm pretty sure one of those is at a gym.
You and I hiding behind the bush giggling. As David Haw.
The hopperazzi.
Here's what's going to happen. The hopperazzi. Here's what's going to happen. Grody and I scheme all the time. And eventually we're going to try to execute one of these schemes.
Yes.
And we're going to get busted because we're giggling.
Yes.
When people can see
what
us.
Will happen when we go to Sluggers? Is one of us going to get hit by the baseball?
100%.
Is one of us going to come back with a shiner?
100%.
Well, you'll be drunk as a skunk in your skirt. We know that.
Unbelievable.
Yeah.
You're just a rumor starter.
Again.
Now.
Again, you'll be drunk as a skunk. It's unbelievable.
I was not drunk as a skunk.
Okay. No, I think, like, there's nothing wrong with it, Layla. I mean, like, especially in a batting cage situation where people are watching you have a few beers, it dropped your inhibitions a little bit, next thing you know, you're hitting oppo.
I mean, I do think that was the case, but I was not as drunk as a skunk because I was making contact.
Okay.
That
drunk as a squirrel, maybe?
Maybe.
Okay. Better.
Do squirrels get drunk?
Why?
Let's go get on the hawks, the haw scent.
David and I are going to be hiding somewhere, giggling, trying to stalk David Haw in the 1 hour he's not accounted for.
We got binoculars. There he goes. I've spotted him.
Where's
he's
he going?
He's on State Street right now. Wait a minute. Where's
going,
he going?
He's going from the score to the United Center, just like we suspected.
Dun, 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 dun.
This is the worst stalking ever. Supposedly, Lawrence and Matt Spiegel are next.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
Do you believe you are wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
Podcasting isn't just evolving. It's having a full-blown identity crisis. I'm Allison Marino, host of What's a Podcast? The Revolution Redefined, a new series that pulls back the curtain on the forces shaping the medium now. And what that means for all of us who love podcasts. I'm really excited to share the official trailer where you'll hear from some of the biggest names in the space. Ira Glass, Leo Laporte, Guy Raz, Hernan Lopez, Lex Fridman, AJ Feliciano, Dan Granger, and yeah, me too. Here it is now.
I still want to kill the word podcast.
That's not just a hot take. It's a symptom of an identity crisis.
Big company run media, and people are trusting it less and less. It's really important that we're independent.
There's a handful of companies that control the vast majority of podcast inventory that have the vast majority of the gigantic shows.
We left radio behind for a reason. We wanted to get away from all the gatekeepers.
I don't know that you could do this as effectively in video.
Podcasting is at a crossroads. I've watched the industry swing from hype to consolidation to reinvention. But this time it's different. From the producers of the documentary Age of Audio, Oxford Road presents the Media Roundtable special series. What's a podcast? The Revolution Redefined.
All of us who work in the media, like, yeah, we got to run a business and like, we got to make a living and we got to sell our ads and we got to do all that. But we all got into it because, like, I think most of us, like, it just gave us a feeling.
A three-part series where you'll hear the leading industry voices give their takes on what podcasting has become and where it's headed next. Teaming up with Oxford Road and Age of Audio director Sean Colone for this series was fun, but also kind of a wake-up call. If you love this medium as much as I do, you've got to listen to What's a Podcast? The Revolution Redefined. It's out now, wherever you get your podcasts.